Welcome back to You and Your Money. We're discussing short-term insurance. My guest is Peter Olliott. You can email me questions on brian@bdtv.co.za. I'd just like to share with you what happened to a colleague of mine recently.
Yeah.
He traveled to New York. Halfway through the trip on the plane, 8 hours, his prostate went seized. Mm. And he was in the most terrible agony. They found a doctor on board. And he tried to catheterize him. Very amazing thing to try and do on an aircraft. But then in the medical kit, they were able to give him an injection, which calmed him down. He arrived in New York 8 hours later. He went straight to the New York Presbyterian Hospital. They admitted him. It took 6 hours to get a catheter put into him to give him that relief. He didn't see a surgeon for 2 more days. He decided this service is useless, got back on a plane, came back to South Africa and sorted it out within a few days.
Yes.
In the meantime, he paid $5,000 for his admission to the New York hospital.
Yep.
He's put in a claim for his travel insurance and they discovered that he has an enlarged prostate.
Yes.
Declined the claim. So let's just talk about another situation.
Yeah.
Someone takes blood pressure tablets,
yes,
and they take cholesterol tablets, and their blood pressure and cholesterol tablets are completely under control.
Yes.
Now, I know you're not a doctor,
yep,
but they go overseas, they go to Australia, they have a heart attack.
Yes.
Now, because you're taking cholesterol and blood pressure tablets, it could lead that that heart attack is actually part of the medicine you're taking,
yes,
repudiation.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of more people are traveling these days. They're buying travel insurance and they're paying for on their credit card.
Yes.
And there is this pre-existing condition. And I don't know any policy, and you may know, where there's no preconditions.
Yeah.
So what do you think people should be telling the insurers when they're buying a travel policy about these type of conditions? Okay.
So you can only declare what one knows. So obviously, if you're unaware that you have a medical problem because you haven't been to the doctor for the last 3 years, then you could use that. But if you have undergone medical treatment in the last 2 years, particularly for something like a prostate, and it's under control, one should still declare that. It's not to say that the insurers won't cover it, but you still need to declare it, and they will determine what extent of cover they're willing to afford one. There are some insurers that do provide pre-existing conditions. In general terms, the covers that are bought through the credit cards don't. So I would always recommend...
Don't what?
Cover pre-existing conditions. Okay,
they exclude it, yes.
Yeah, so I would always recommend that one goes to to an insurer to supplement the cover that's provided by the credit card. So it doesn't have to replace it because then it's duplicating parts of the cover. But one can get pre-existing conditions, provided they're disclosed. Normally, the pre-existing conditions that need to be disclosed are anything to do with the heart, circulatory system.
So do you think it's better, particularly a lot of older people are traveling? I mean, yes. I'm asthmatic.
Yes.
I mean, I've been asthmatic, not treated, but I've been asthmatic for 30 or 40 years.
Yes.
Would I need to disclose that under my travel policy? So the more you can, so is it better to try and get a letter from your medical aid? Would you suggest that may be an answer, and then hand that to of the conditions, and then hand that to you to the travel insurance?
Unless one is aware of the things that one's been treated for. So hypertension is a particular one, very common in South Africa. So which is blood pressure, hypertension, those sorts of things can be disclosed to the insurer when requesting specifically pre-existing conditions. And I would say, you know, anyone travelling, but particularly those above 60. Who seem to do the most traveling because they've retired or whatever, they should.
And their children live all over the world.
Yeah, and they're the ones that should be disclosing. There are a few insurers that do provide the cover.
Once you've disclosed?
Yes.
Are there any companies that will not?
Yeah, there are some travel insurers who don't give pre-existing conditions.
Obviously, and so and I've got a question we'll come to later. When do you go direct? When do you use a broker?
When the broker comes.
Yeah, let's just talk about that. But let me get to some emails, as our viewers will be very unhappy with me.
Yes.
Doug in Johannesburg said, I've recently had a claim repudiated for a vehicle stolen because we have not serviced the NetStar every 6 months.
Yes.
I was not aware of this. Apparently, in the small print, the policy issued by Infinity Insurers have a clause stating that it must be tested once every 6 months.
Yes.
My broker never pointed this out when it was time to renew. Do all policies have such a clause? And surely Netstar have the responsibility to contact owners whose devices are no longer emitting signals. After all, they do get paid monthly. Now, I think about my cars. I've got, I think it's Netstar, maybe one of the other, I'm not even sure. But I never check it.
Okay. So, again, it depends on the product one is being offered. So, it's all in the fine print. Not every policy has a condition which requires one to test the tracking device. The second thing is there are tracking devices which are proactive and continually send signals out to the user. So I've got an example in my own vehicle. If there's remote jamming in the vicinity, the device sends a message to my cell phone saying remote jamming in the vicinity, which is indication that the system's working. So, you know, as with any insurance product, the devil's in the detail, and it is a financial technical product, whether you buy it direct or whether you buy it from an advisor. So it is the advisor's job to advise the client where there are specific conditions in the policy that need to be complied with.
Well, let me put that a warning, because I was very amazed, and I shall deal with it. As you know, I do it short term, and I often have the ombudsman on with me. I will deal with that ombudsman. I found that very unfair, very unreasonable, and I'm just warning to everyone, check your policy to have a look, your motor policy to have a look about, because most motor policies today do insist on having some remote warning to some companies, example, Netstar. So please let that be a warning to our viewers this evening. Bernice in Killarney says, I have an 18-year-old vehicle. What value should I insure my vehicle for, as the price of second-hand vehicles has increased in the past few months? Can I also not insure my vehicle for replacement rather than book value? And that's very sad for elderly people who will never want to replace their car, but it gets them from point A to B. Their car's 18, 20 years old. They hardly ever drive it. Something happens, car gets the write-off. Today, it's worth nothing. So, is there any policy where you can insure for replacement?
No, you can insure retail value on a vehicle.
But retail value at the age of the vehicle, correct, from the book.
Yeah, but the problem is with the older type vehicles is you have a relatively minor scratch or dent, and the repair costs will exceed the certain percentage of the value, and the insurers write the vehicle off. And then when you pay it out, you can't replace that vehicle with like for like. The one thing is, certain particular vehicle models, even if they're 18 years old, the values have gone up over the years. So that's one of the things we would recommend, is that if you have a pre-owned vehicle and it isn't one of the popular vehicles, is to check with the dealers what the going retail values of those vehicles are. And it's quite funny, in South Africa, probably the last 2 years, pre-owned vehicle prices have actually increased.
But now, when the insurer reduces each year, the value, so are you saying that you need to check that value from the dealers?
Yeah, because it hasn't necessarily gone down, depending on the vehicle type that you have.
And condition and mileage, condition, maybe?
Yes. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, there comes a point when one needs to determine, do I insure my vehicle comprehensively or third-party fire and theft, and save some money? Depends on you know, what the repair costs are and what the actual value of the vehicle is. I would say if the vehicle has a retail value below 30,000 Rand, then one should seriously consider changing the scope of cover.
The sad part for elderly people,
yes,
that 30,000 Rand car, they're going to need 800,000 Rand to replace.
Correct.
Do you still have a mother? Is she alive?
Yes, I do.
Does she drive?
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't drive, okay. So we'll go. Okay, let's go to Lawrence in East London.
Yeah.
My personal vehicle policy gives me 30 days car hire insurance. However, due to supply chain issues, there could be delays of up to 3 months or longer. Can I extend the period in a cost-effective way?
Yes, one can. There are sort of standalone policies which will give you cover up to 90 days. What I would recommend, though, is if the vehicle is drivable, is not to take it directly into the panel beater, because it might sit there for 3 months. So the advice would be, horror of horrors, drive around with your banged up vehicle until it's ready to go into the panel beater, and then that might save you, you know, 3 or 4 weeks worth of cover.
Yeah.
The problem has come around because of many factors, including the war overseas and shortages of parts, and even supply chain management issues in South Africa, where accident parts are not held by the OEMs locally. You have to import them, and that can be 3 to 6 months.
And also load shedding also has affected panel beaters.
Yeah.
Peter from Kelly in Parkwood says, Myza and I are both working from home. Although it's saving us time and commuting costs, what extra insurance protections do you suggest we take? Because working from home can be a little bit more dangerous now, you know.
Yes.
Normally you're not there during the day, now you're all there at home.
Yeah, so one can be exposed to crime, which you may not be at your house during the day you're at work. So I would recommend that one looks at the accident cover. But there are also some benefits. They're not insurance products, but they're value-added services where you can have a panic button. Should someone be in the vicinity and you're a bit nervous, you can press the button. They don't have to break in first. You can just see them outside your yard driving up and down, and you can press the button, and the armed response will come there to your place within about 15 minutes if you're in the major metro areas.
Well, Peter, there are a lot of questions we never got to. We just don't have. We always run out of time. Yeah. The professional risk advisor will work through first what is important to each client and then what their short, medium and long-term objectives are. There are so many necessary items that must be paid for, so cutting costs when it comes to insurance may be the worst possible decision. A professional broker should work with you explaining the risk exposures, the likelihood and loss scenarios, which will help allow one to make an informed decision as to what changes one needs to make to one's insurance requirements. Whilst death from illness actuarially is more tuned to older people, when it comes to accidents, it can happen to anyone, and so often employers' policies provide cover for death and possible disability, but accident policies have been largely ignored. They're not so expensive, so may I suggest that you speak to your broker. Peter, I'd like to thank you for joining me this evening.
Brian.
It's important to note our program tonight is to provide information and should not be construed as advice. Next week's program, we'll once again be dealing with financial planning. And if you need to get hold of me, my details will appear on the screen. I'd like to thank you for watching, and good night.
Thanks.